Welcome to the Elevate Podcast.
Here we go!
Hey everybody, this is podcast number
31,
and it is called Divine Factor Cast. And we are here at Elevate. We've had a great night tonight. And with me, I don't know, we got a lot of people. You're going to hear a lot of noise because we just had an awesome concert at our Elevate tonight. And I've got with us, I'm going to go through. I don't have an 18-minute intro like Juno.
Bless you.
Thank you.
All right. So on the mics, I have Ness.
Hi.
Dude,
hi there.
He's ruining it. I have Jess. I have Maritza.
What's up?
Rachel.
Hey.
Shelly.
Hey.
Somewhere around here is Tommy. He's going to be jumping in whenever he's got a chance. We got an extra mic for him. Hey, guys, what do you think? We had a great night tonight.
Yes, ooh,
yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
It was our summer blowout.
And I blew out my ear.
And what?
I blew out our ears.
Rachel, and how did y'all blow out yours? You sat out on the outside the whole time.
I was standing right by the speaker.
We have sensitive ears.
Don't stand next to the speaker.
I was like right there.
Oh, yeah, you had the video.
Yeah, and I was right there.
Rachel wins.
Right in front of the speaker.
And
the
I lost my sensitive taste.
The sacrifices I make.
The sacrifices she makes. Y'all hear that?
Hey, we had what, to. She what had been I gone do for God. 2 weeks.
I know.
She was gone for 2 weeks. We had to put her to work.
Hey, you know what? We didn't have crickets last week. Just
I know.
In
I
honor
appreciated
of you.
That.
And I said that I missed you.
Did and you I catch missed that? You too.
Thank you.
Yes.
Well, tonight we concluded our series called The Divine Factor. And, I'm sorry. Tonight our message was The Divine Factor. And we concluded The D Factor. I thought it was a great series. It was all about decisions, and I'm trying to get a chair because I feel like I'm preaching when I stand up, and I did enough of that tonight.
It was good, though.
Was it good?
Yes, it was.
Very
tonight
good.
Was about the divine factor and how, what's our big idea? Tell them, Shelley, because that's what it's all about.
Without God, it all ends up meaningless.
Without God, it's all meaningless, and we went in, talked about Ecclesiastes and Solomon and how, here comes Tommy. Tommy, say hi to everybody real quick.
What's happening?
And it was all about tonight about without God, you know, and we looked at Solomon's life and a little bit of my life I mixed in with it and saw how without God, you know, he's tried work, he tried school, he tried drugs, well, maybe not drugs, but he tried hobbies and alcohol and all this stuff, and every time, everything he tried, he ended up finding it meaningless. So, throwing this out to somebody out here, I'm not even going to say it.
Don't look at me.
What's the question?
There's not really a question, but,
So, whatever we want.
Whatever's on your mind. How have y'all seen that in your life? You have something to say?
No, I was going to say you actually finished on time today.
Yeah, did I?
Yep.
Yeah, you did.
That was like a first, too.
That was good.
Mm-hmm. We had a lot of
people.
I was
like 2 minutes over.
That's all I know.
It's okay.
No, you were like a minute.
I wear a watch, but I don't even check it. So
that's a record.
So how have you guys seen, you know, in life, maybe has anybody, and I throw this out to the whole crowd here, has anybody seen that, you know, have you tried to accomplish it in your life and just kind of, you know, felt like, you know, is meaningless. Any of y'all? Mm-hmm. You want to talk about it, maybe?
Yeah, I did. This is Tommy. You know, I had cars, money, you know, house, toys. I guess everything you could imagine. And each time I would get that new motorcycle, that new GT Mustang or whatever it was that I thought was going to complete me.
Right.
I drive it off the lot and realize, oh, that's it. You know, so to me, when I hear that and I see it in God's eyes and perspective, I realize that no matter what I accomplished or what materialistic thing that I got, it didn't complete me.
Awesome.
Exactly.
Anybody else want to throw it out there? You've kind of, maybe the same thing. Some of you were in church all your life, so I don't know if you know what that's like. But I found that people even in church sometimes try to pursue a lot and find it meaningless.
Well, because, I mean, you can have everything, but like if God's not the center of it, then there's just no meaning to it.
Yep.
Unless he's there, then there's You'll never find all the meaning. You'll never, ever, ever. And I know that from experience.
Right.
You know, from just having different things or whatever, and it's that stuff doesn't matter. You know, you got to have God in the center.
Yep.
Right.
Right. We have a guy, Shelley, now.
Hello.
You didn't hear Ness? He's like
Ness, he's like the one-word guy here. And
there's nothing wrong with being one-word
Do you know that
person.
Juno is text messaging
That's
us
right.
yes. on the spot while we're doing this?
I don't know what y'all are talking about.
He's trying to get in. Juno got shots today again, so he wasn't able to come with us. So we're going to be nice to him this week.
He's in a lot of pain.
Did he catch that horse thing?
He's getting shots
Shelly
in his spine.
Shelly drop kicked him, so that's
he has some back kind of things.
I would like to tell Juno, and the last podcast I said he was really mean because like you would see him on the road and he wouldn't say hi. He actually said hi to me. I'd like to apologize. I'm sorry. He's not here right now, so I can't tell him. So I figured he's going to hear this, and I just appreciate him waving at me.
Well, tonight we had what we call a summer blowout. And we try to do one or two, right now we're trying to do two events like this a year, and part of it is to get some momentum.
I didn't even get to write any of the blend. What was it that we had outside?
The blow-up balloons.
Oh, the games?
Yeah.
I didn't even get to do any of that stuff.
I didn't either. But what we did is we, twice a year what we do is we try to get some big inflatables. That's what happens when you're in the band.
Don't feel bad. We didn't get to do it either.
Yeah. They had us running around getting
I was going to go out there, and I was going to do it. And what was that? We had you running around?
Mm-hmm. Miss Robbie. She had us running around. That's... You just see us in the car. We would just leave.
But we get some giant inflatable games type things. We put those outside, and for about an hour and a half before our meeting... We open up game room and the inflatables and do all that, and then we do tonight we do a scaled down version of our meeting, which scaled down means like what 15 minutes less. That's scaled down for me, and we kind of gear it around salvation. We make it more of a salvation night because this is a night that we really gear where our teens can really reach out to their friends, bring them in, and it's something special. And then we end up having a concert at the end of the night. Tonight we had a great band, local band, here in Corpus Christi. So if you're listening to this podcast and you're not here in town or you are in town, if you want to get an idea of who these guys are, go to their MySpace. It is myspace.com. Then the little slash, and then it is they, the band. They, the band. MySpace.com slash they, T-H-E-Y, the, T-H-E, band, B-A-N-D. Check them out. These guys had a great sound, right?
Yes, sir.
Ness stood in front of the speaker all night to help them out.
I'm still a little dead of the right ear, but I'm good.
And so we do that, again, to get some momentum. We do it for our teens to be able to reach their friends.
We had a good turnout.
We had a great turnout. We had 100-plus. I'm not sure what the plus was because it kind of got hard to count after about 110-plus, right? So we had actually over 110 people here on the night, and probably about 120 to 25 is what it ended out. And we concluded our D factor, and we're going into the summer. I'm excited about the summer, y'all, because for the next 3 weeks, I'm taking a break from speaking.
Whoa.
Who's going to speak?
I've got some team members coming, and Tommy's going to be doing 1 week. Juno's going to be doing another week, and a friend of mine, Jerome, is going to be doing. And we're taking a different movie, and we're going to see God through our culture's eyes. We're taking Pirates of the Caribbean, Shrek, Spider-Man, and then I chose, for myself, Transformers. And we're going to do just a different message based on each one, kind of looking at God through our culture's eyes. So I'm excited about that. We're going to wrap up this podcast.
We have to announce the name of the band, of the dance team.
Yeah,
we finally got a name.
Jess and Maritza are our dance team director, coordinator, leaders, co-captains, whatever you... We'll make up something.
Yes. And the name of the band...
The name of the dance team.
Dance team.
Dance team is Stomp 365. Stomping on the enemy 365 days out of the year.
There cool. we go. Stomp 365. We started a dance team, and they're going to be performing soon.
But wait. What if Leap Year comes in?
What?
What if Leap Year comes in and then you got to call it what? Stomp 366?
Yeah.
But it's not a leap year, so...
So it's like Stomp on the Devil extra hard.
Extra yeah. For an extra day. It's going to be an extra stomp in there.
It's going to be... Yeah, we're going to change the name for that year. 366.
Okay. It was just a question, you know.
It's all right.
Man.
Man, the Buster Bubble.
Any thoughts? Last thoughts? We've been here a long time today.
Yes, very long.
Now y'all know what my day's like.
Crazy. But you don't have to drive back to Keensville.
You're right. Thank the Lord.
We do.
You have to just drive about like 2 minutes. We have 30 more minutes.
It takes me 4 minutes. Let's get this right.
Oh, sorry. 4 minutes.
Y'all take about 35, and Tommy gets about 20, right? Yep. And I don't know about Shelly. She now lives like 20 miles away too, don't you?
Yeah.
And I don't even know, Rachel, how far it is for her.
Like a mile.
Yeah, not even.
And like anybody really cares that's listening to all this.
Right?
Who is Rachel?
Nobody
anyway?
Cares where we live.
So this has been the Elevate Podcast. We're not doing a Junoism, Jayism, or Shelly tidbit tonight, right?
Thank God.
I didn't think about it. I'm sorry. I was having to drive Mr. Junoism home.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Shelly had to drive to Kingsville, then back to Corpus, then back to Kingsville, then back to Corpus. So,
yeah, that was my day.
She had a fun day.
We did that today too.
Yeah, it was pretty fun.
I did.
No, she did. I just kind of came here.
Yeah, you did that too.
I did that too.
On a full stomach. Yeah, I'm hungry right now.
So this has been our podcast number 31, Divine Factor Cast, and you guys want to say bye?
Peace it.
Bye, guys.
Later.
See ya.
Goodbye. Love y'all.
If you want to know more about our Elevate and what we do here, go to myspace.com/ElevateYouthCC. And you can also read more from me, Pastor Jay, at jaycurley.blogspot.com.
Please come.
Anybody else want to throw a website in?
Adios.
Okay.
That's my word.
Okay. I need more hits. You got it? I want you guys to sow your best. I know it'd be easy to go to McDonald's or Whataburger or wherever you want to go afterwards. Or it'd be easy to even to go out to the cafe and buy yourself a Coke. But man, let me tell you, you are what makes Elevate happen. You are what makes Elevate happen. And man, I haven't been up here to do an offering message in a while. And I just want you to start sowing your best. Because when you sow your best, God does His best with you. Y'all hear me? When you sow your best, God gives His best to you. There's a scripture in the Bible, and it goes a little something like this. It says, give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over will be poured into your lap. For as a man gives, it will be given back to him. Now listen to that scripture. Give and it will be given back to you. I mean, he just says give one time. Let me show you God's best. Give, you give, and it's going to be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. So God says, if you do your best, I'm going to outdo you. I'm not only going to just give back to you. I'm not going to just give back to you. I'm going to give back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. How many of y'all like some of that running over? Now, my mama always taught me that when you spilled the Kool-Aid, you know, when you pour too much in the Kool-Aid jar and it overpours and it's running over, that's called a mess, right? I mean, any of your mamas tell you that? How many of y'all have ever made a mess with the Kool-Aid? What'd you do? You made a mess. You know, mom's all over you, right? And it's the red Kool-Aid, you know, not the kind that stains the whole counter. You know what I mean? Huh? Nobody. Am I in the wrong building? None of y'all ever spilled Kool-Aid before? All right. Now here's the deal. Watch this. See, what mama called mess, God calls blessing. What mama calls mess, God calls blessing. He says, give, and it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. And so, man, I encourage you, man, tonight, sow your best. Man, if you got a dollar and you're thinking, man, I want to keep that dollar, I got to get a Coke afterwards. Hey, man, I encourage you, man, sow your best. Sow your best. Learn to do it now while you're a teenager. Because you know what? If you don't do it now, when you get to your 30s and your 40s and you don't have a habit, it's not built into you, it's going to be hard to start. And because it's hard to start then, when troubles come and you haven't made a habit of giving, it's going to be hard to give. Because you're going to always have that thought, well, I don't know, if I give, I'm not going to have. But if you'll give now, listen, God says, give, and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. So I encourage you, man, give your best tonight. We're using all these offerings, man, to take care of this night so that you could get your friends here, man. We got those big games outside, and they's jamming tonight. So you guys give your best. Amen. Well, all this month we've been doing a series called The D Factor. And what this whole series has been about, this whole series, The D Factor, has been about how your decisions determine your destiny. You guys, listen up. And as we've dug into this whole thing of decisions, and that's what this whole message has been about, it's about the decisions that we make on a daily basis. As we've looked at this and as we've gone through this series, we've kind of looked at many factors. You guys can probably remember this. We've looked at how your values play a part into the decisions you make. We've looked at the things you're passionate about and how those things that you're passionate about play a factor in the decisions you make. And then last week, if you were here, you'll probably remember we talked about the whole thing of our destiny and how our destiny, the destiny that God has for us, the destiny that God has lined up our life, He's designed us and all that thing, how it plays a factor into the decisions that we make. And so tonight, we're going to wrap up this whole series with just one more factor. And that factor is called the divine factor. And if you've got your notes there, I made it real easy for you tonight. You got one blank to fill in. Man, y'all say thank you, Pastor Jay.
Thank you.
One blank, that's all. But we're talking about the divine factor. And you see, here's the deal. No matter how you wrap yourself around this whole concept of decisions, you have to understand that there is a divine factor that comes into the equation. How many of you have ever found yourself in a place where you kind of felt like the things you're doing and it just seems like your life is kind of meaningless? Have you ever thought that? Like, I mean, come on, be honest with me. Maybe all of you have just, my life is full of, you know. How many of y'all have ever thought that? Well, you know, I don't know what my life's going to add up to. I just don't know what is life all about, you know? How many of you even asked God? Maybe you've asked God that. God, what's life all about? What is life all about? Maybe you've come to a point within yourself again that you've said to yourself, man, you know, it just seems like my life is kind of meaningless. And nothing seems to add up. Maybe you've said that to yourself. You know, it was fine for a while. You know, life was good. And even the Christian thing, it was kind of good. And it was kind of, you know, when it first started out and came to Elevate, and I'm all excited. And now it just kind of, you know, kind of lost that feeling. That feeling I once had is just not really there anymore. You ever felt like that? Am I the only one? I'm pastor. Am I the only one that ever felt like that? Come on, man. Y'all be honest with me. See? Hands are up all over. You're not the only one. And that's the thing. We all go through it. These questions I'm asking you, we all face it. We all come to a point, and if you haven't done it yet, you probably will at some point in your life. Ask yourself the question, man, what is this whole thing about, man? How come I'm not feeling it? You know, and I know God says, and you always hear it, don't go by feeling, you got to go by faith. You know, anybody ever said that to you? Maybe your mom or your dad. I just don't feel like it, Mom. You know, I just feel sick. Don't go by feeling. You got to go by faith. But come on, man. Isn't that really right? Don't we ask ourselves, man, I just don't feel it. I'm just not feeling it. And see, tonight we're going to talk about that, and that's why we're going to get right into our big idea. Fill this out with in your notes, right into the big idea. Well, see, the big idea, the thing I'm talking to you tonight about is without God, it all ends up meaningless. That's the thing. See, without God, it all ends up meaningless. See, because of the fact that we were created by God, there's a part of us that is always longing for something. Because we're created by God, there's something in us that is always longing for something else. The day that Adam and Eve sinned and fell from grace, it separated the human race from God. And since then, no matter what we do, no matter how hard we try, there always seems to be this nagging kind of feeling in our lives that we're missing something. And something's missing. I just can't put my thumb on it. I can't put my finger on it. Something's missing. And there's always going to be that nagging feeling. Why? Because God created us. And because he created us, there's this kind of hole that was left in us when the human race fell, when we sinned. And so if you got your Bibles tonight, I didn't put a lot of stuff in there for you. But I want to look at one of the books in the Bible that was written by a guy that had it all. Man, this guy had it all. In fact, he was like the Bill Gates of his time. Richest man in the world. Probably his wealth from that day is probably equivalent or probably more than Bill Gates today. Maybe you've heard of this guy. His name was Solomon. Anybody ever hear of Solomon? Solomon's Mines. You know, they make movies all about him, how his all his gold and stuff is buried somewhere, and if you just go on this treasure hunt into the jungles of South America or Peru or somewhere like that, you'll find it all. But here's the thing. Solomon was considered one of the wisest and richest guys there has ever been in this world. He was the wisest and he was the richest. He didn't have Nikes, man. He had better than Nikes. He got all his robes, man. He flew Armani in, and he had these Armani robes, man. I'm kidding. Armani wasn't alive then. Come on, y'all. Y'all got to work with me tonight. It's got to actually be funny, doesn't it? Anyway, man, he had the best of the best. I bet you his bathroom was solid gold. I can't prove that. I'm not sure. But I bet he had a solid gold toilet, man. You know? He didn't have no wood thing where he got splinters. No. Solomon had solid gold toilet, if they had toilets back then. But let's look real quick. I put some notes in there for you and some of these scriptures. But if you got your Bibles, turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. It's real simple to get to. If you go right to the middle, there's Psalms. Right after Psalms is Proverbs. Right after Proverbs is Ecclesiastes. And verse 1 in chapter 1 says this. Listen to this. The words of the teacher, son of David, king of Jerusalem. This is Solomon. These are his words. He says this, verse 2. Listen to this guy. Meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Now, he didn't say some things. He didn't say a few things. He didn't say one or two things. He said everything. Solomon said everything is meaningless. Now, why would a guy that is the richest guy in the world, I don't get it. Because to me, if I had the money of Bill Gates, I don't know if I'd feel too meaningless, would you? Huh? Come on. Now, you maybe you're not talking because you don't have that kind of money. Actually, none of us have that kind of money. Bill Gates' money. But Solomon did. Solomon had it all. He was king of Jerusalem. Solomon didn't even have to make his own food. He had people that made his own food, and then he had people that tasted his food to make sure that nobody poisoned him. He had probably somebody to stand there and put the food in his mouth while he had people waving the little things over here for some little air conditioning, you know? He had people to carry him from one city to the next. Man, this dude didn't have to do nothing. And yet, here he says, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Wow. How can a guy that has it all say meaningless? Verse 3, what does a man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? I think I wrote this in your notes. Pursuits of futility. Some of you might not even know what that word means. This is what this guy said. He had a bunch of pursuits of futility. They were futile. Basically, you go after them, but you never kind of get what you thought. He was chasing after stuff, and when he went after it, he never really got what he thought. And you know, my life, I can tell you this. I can read about what he said, and when I was your age, I can see I was dead right in that place. And in my life, it seemed like everything that I was chasing, everything that I was going after, it all ended up seeming meaningless. And I went through one thing after the other, just like Solomon did. Let's look at a few things Solomon pursued in his quest for the meaning in life. First thing he did, he chose school. Man, that was smart, huh? How many of y'all know if you were the richest guy in the world, you probably wouldn't go back to school? Who would do that? Come on. You would go back to school? Not me. Not this guy. Dude, if I had all the money in the world, I wouldn't need school, right? But Solomon said, you know what? I'm going to check this out. I'm going to go back. I'm going to pursue school. I'm going to pursue education. He said this in verse 12, chapter 1. I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the sun. What a heavy burden God has laid on men. I thought to myself, look. He's like, self? I have grown and increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ever ruled in Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. And then in verse 18, he says this. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. Now, I don't know why he said that. All I know is that he said that. This is a guy that tried school, and he said, you know what? I'm going to get smarter and smarter and smarter, and as I get smarter and smarter, it's going to make me feel good inside. But he goes, you know what? The smarter I got, it seems like the more sad I got, the more grief I felt, the more sorrow I felt. And so, he goes on, and in chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, he tries pleasure. He says this, verse 1, he says, I thought in my heart, all right, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be, guess, meaningless. So what does this guy do? This is where my life comes in, because I, even though I went to college, I wasn't pursuing to get real smart. But you know what? Since I've gotten out of college, in my life, I've read and I read more and more because I want to know more. It seems like since I've been out for 10 years or 12 years or 14 years. I'm dating myself, aren't I? But it seems like I read more and I read more and I read more and I study more and I study more and I want to be a better leader and I want to be better this. And even though you know, I'd go after knowledge. And then Solomon did the same. And he tried pleasure. And, you know, when I was in high school, this was my route. This was my route. You see, I grew up in a home like some of you guys here. I grew up in a home where my parents knew God. And they went to church all the time. And I got to a point where I was 14, and I said, you know what, Mom, Dad, and I wouldn't encourage this because some of yours might not be as nice as mine were. I said, you know what, I'm not doing church no more. I said that to my parents at 14. And you know, the reality was is they really couldn't force me to love God. They really couldn't force me to choose to love and serve God. They couldn't do that. Now, they could make me go to church, but they couldn't make me serve God. And maybe some of you are in that boat. And so what I did is I tried it all, man. I tried the fun. You know, I was the life of the party. When we had the parties, man, I was there. I tried it all. This is what Solomon did. Solomon tried fun. He had hobbies. Solomon had hobbies. Man, how many of y'all have some hobbies that you like to do? Yeah, come on, basketball or collect stamps or collect bugs or play baseball or work on your car or get some bass in your trunk, you know, or something like that. You got some hobbies, man. And, you know, this is what Solomon did. Let's look real quick. Verse 2, he went after laughter. He tried laughter. In verse 4, it said he undertook great projects. He had hobbies, man. For his hobby, he built houses for himself. Man, I wish that'd be a cool hobby, wouldn't it? You know, I feel like building a house today, you know. Build a house. And he built a vineyard. And he made a garden and a park and all kinds of trees. And I mean, that was his hobby, man. His hobby was making parks and stuff. What a hobby. And he owned, like, herds and flocks. And then another hobby, you know, another thing Solomon tried is, it says he amassed silver and gold for himself from all the treasures of the kings and everywhere. He acquired silver and gold, and it says he acquired men and women and a harem as well. He tried everything. You know, and I found myself, when I was your age, trying everything. After I told my parents, no more church, none of that, nothing, I don't want any more of that. I tried it all, man. I tried partying. I tried drugs. You name it. I tried it. Because when I told my parents, you know, God, I don't want God anymore, I don't want that, I started trying to find something to fill this void in my heart. And I would try anything to get that feeling that would just kind of numb that hole in my heart. And see, that's what Solomon was doing. Solomon was trying everything he could to fill that void in his life. And he would always come back. And in verse 11, this is how he said it. He said, "Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had told to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing of the wind." And so he went on and he tried wisdom and he tried foolishness. I mean, he was like, he tried to be the class clown, you know. I'm just going to try to be a fool, and I'm going to try wisdom. I'm going to try to be a fool. I'm going to try all this. And you see, that's what people do. You know why your friends sometimes make a fool of themselves in class? Because they're trying to get all that attention because they got this hole in their heart. Maybe there's some of you like that here tonight. Maybe there's some people that are here that do that in Elevate. You know why they do it in Elevate? Because they got a hole in their heart. And they're thinking, if I act a fool, everybody's going to look at me and all the attention is going to be on me. And Solomon tried it. You know what he said? Guess. He said, it's meaningless. And so he goes on in chapter 2, verse 17. He says this. Wow, this is powerful. "So I hated life." Man, this is the richest guy in the world, and he says, "I hate life." You know why he said that? Because he had this hole in his heart, and he couldn't. So what does he do? He says, you know what? Since I hate my life, I hate this, and this didn't work, I'm going to throw myself in my work, in my career. And so he did. He threw himself into his work, being the king. And then this is what he realized. He realized that was meaningless too. He says, I hated all the things I had worked for under the sun because I've got to leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether he's going to be wise or he's going to be a fool. So I'm doing all this work and I'm going to die and I'm going to leave it to somebody. So what in the world is it worth? And see, here's the deal. You can go get the greatest career. You can go get the greatest job and you can do a lot of work and you can go out and be a CEO and build this great corporation. And you know what? One day you're going to die and you can't take it with you. Come on, listen to me. And Solomon experienced that, and he said, you know what? I'm doing all this. He said in verse 23, all his days, his work is pain and grief. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is meaningless. And guess what? You go all the way to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 8, and he wraps this up. He concludes it all, and I'm just about done, you guys. He says this, meaningless, meaningless. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. This is a guy who tried it all, man. He tried work, he tried career, he tried school, he tried education, he tried partying, he tried alcohol, he tried women, he tried all of this. And when he got to the end of his life, he said, man, guess what? I found out it's meaningless. And you know what? I found out in my life it was meaningless. I got to the age of 24 and I tried it all. And you know, eventually I didn't do drugs anymore and I didn't do alcohol anymore. But then I threw myself into a sport called bodybuilding, and I made bodybuilding my life and my God, and bodybuilding was everything. And I kept going from one thing to the next and one thing to the next. And my life ended up being meaningless, man. And I realized at 24, what in the world is my life adding up to? What in the world has my life come to? What good is it? See, in the end, the final analysis for Solomon and even for my life was that it was meaningless. That chasing after all these things still left him empty, which is true with us. And that's why we chase after things. And that's why you'll chase after things your whole life. Until you realize that you're empty in your heart and you need your heart to be full. See, because when we back up to Ecclesiastes 3:11, this is why a lot of things feel meaningless to us. Did I put this in your notes? It says, he has made everything, talking about God. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So this is what Solomon is saying. He says, man, eternity is in your heart. And the reason you go from thing to thing and you try to get those things to fill your heart is because of the fact that eternity is beating in your heart. And until you wrap your hands around that and realize that without God, everything is meaningless, can you not set your path down a path and your decisions down a life where you feel that meaning in your life? Maybe some of you guys agree with that tonight. Maybe some of you agree with that tonight. Where's Ness? Maybe some of you agree with that tonight. Maybe some of you feel like that tonight. Maybe some of you feel like in your life that, you know, you've tried this and you've tried that and you've chased after this and you've chased after that and you feel a little meaningless. Maybe you've said that you want to feel a sense of purpose in your life. You know what? The reality is this. You can walk away tonight feeling like you have meaning in your life. You guys bow your head. Folks, here's the deal. Here's the divine factor. Without God, everything is meaningless. And so this whole divine factor starts with God. And I'm not going to make any excuse for it, you know? I'm not going to make any excuse for it. Because without God, man, life is meaningless. and you can realize that now while you're 14 or now while you're 18, and you can change all those decisions in your life where you might have to endure some hard things because of that. And you know, you can set your life on a path right now where you feel a life of purpose and a life of meaning. And folks, the reality is it starts with God. It starts with Jesus. Here's the deal. Jesus died for you. Jesus died so that you would have life. See, that hole in your heart that you're chasing after is a life with God, man. And the reality is you can fill your life with meaning and purpose, and it starts with Him. Listen to me. If you feel that right now you don't have that meaning in your life, and you want to have a life of meaning, you want to have a life of purpose, it starts with a relationship with God. And if you want to have purpose in your life, you want to have that meaning in your life, you've tried to chase after everything and it just ain't working, man, do me a favor. I want you to raise your hand and say, Pastor Jay, I want you to pray with me. Pastor Jay, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling that life of purpose. And man, my life is feeling kind of meaningless. And Pastor Jay, I want you to pray with me tonight. There's hands up. Okay, good. Okay, I'm going to be real quick here. Second question. I'm going fast. I'm not going to give you lots of chances tonight. Maybe you've been on the right track at one point, but you've kind of gotten off track. And folks, you want to get back on track tonight. You want to get back in that life of purpose. I want you to raise your hand. Say, Pastor Jay, I want to start over tonight. I want to start fresh. I used to be on the right track. I've gotten off, and I'm feeling that, and I want to be back on track. Okay, hands are up. Good, 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 good. All right, last thing here. I want to help you out. If you raised your hand, I want you to come up here real quick with me. I want you to just pray a prayer. These guys are going to give you the biggest hand clap in the world because they think you're the most awesome, bravest, coolest people in the world. You want to get back on track, or you want to get your life to feeling purpose again, come up here. There's other people. I know your hands are up. If you raise your hand, look, these people are brave. You're not the only one. Come on up here right now. Quickly, quickly. All right, good job, man. Give him a hand clap. All right, you guys, do me a favor. Just pray with me real quick, and then Miss Carolina is going to talk with you. Say, Jesus, tonight, man, I want to get back on track. I want to have a life of meaning. I want to have a life of purpose, and it starts with you. I commit my life to you, to follow you. Fill me with your presence. Fill my heart with meaning and purpose. And I thank you that you died for me, that you rose again so that I could have life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Elevate Podcast. For more information on Elevate, log on to www.myspace.com/ElevateYouthCC.